right, you're back again with Bruce Birch on All Things Reconsidered. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining me again this week. Today is May the 7th, and I've got something going on with me physically. I'm not sure what it is, but I'm not up to top speed tonight, so I'm moving a little slow. But it's all right. We'll keep going with the program. As they say, the show must go on, and the show will go on tonight. If I keel over, I'll do Morse code, okay? I'll tap the side of the microphone on the floor, and maybe somebody can translate for you. Take care of some housekeeping announcements. If this is the first time that you've ever listened to this radio program, welcome. Glad to have you aboard. I've been going since July, August of last year. This is our 41st radio program. So we have been going for a while. You can get all of the archives of this radio program by going to White Rose Society, whiterosesociety.org. My friend and compadre in the struggle, Ben Birch, maintains the archives over there of a bunch of progressive and liberal talk radio. You can go there and just browse through a bunch of great hosts and great shows. 5 million hours he claims to have over there, I don't doubt it one bit. Also, this show is being brought to you under the auspices or being sponsored, if you will, by a couple of sponsors. The first one being Godbold Computer Services of Tallahassee, Florida. Thank you very much for sponsoring this radio program, and also the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. So thank you both of those sponsors for helping to keep this radio programming on the air and going for as long as we have been going. And, despite the illness of the host or hay fever, I don't know what it is. I started sneezing and stuff today, and it's kind of a rainy, dreary day here in Greensboro, North Carolina. Just a perfect day to kick back and watch movies and relax. So that's the kind of day that I spent today. I did get online and check out some of the interesting things that are happening around the nation. Oh, before I get too far into the program, also, if you want to, this is a conversation radio. So if you would like to get in on the conversation, you are more than welcome to do so. That telephone number that you can dial to get into this radio program is 1-877-443-2366. That's 1-877-443-2366. It's a toll-free call. We'll pick up the dime for that telephone call if you'd like to get in on the program. You can also send me an email. I'd love to hear from you via email as well. You can send an email to Bruce, B-R-U-C-E, Bruce at brucebirch.com. And Birch is spelled with a U, B-U-R-C-H, Bruce at brucebirch.com. Okay, now, I think we've covered all of the various and sundry announcements that need to happen. A couple of interesting things that are happening. Oh, you know what? I didn't do them all. One more. One more. Just smack me anytime now. Just okay. I feel better. One more. Along with all of the wonderful things that Head On Radio Network does, during each radio program that we have on the air, we have a chat room available at and join that chat room, and I think, let me take a look here. Looks like there's about, oh my goodness, maybe even 20 people in there. There's a lot of people in there. That's a lot of people. Wow. Well, welcome everybody in the chat room. Glad that you could join it. Join us for the show. Yes, you can go to headonradionetwork.com, join the chat room where you can chat with a number of other people there. And the topic will range from everything from 9/11 to you name it. They talk about it. It's no holds barred chatting there in the chat room. Okay, now on into the meat of the show, as it were. I just wanted to, before I get going too far, I wanted to sort of do a really quick acknowledgement, if you will. It appears that a few weeks ago, several weeks ago. I think it was back in April sometime, or maybe, yeah, first part of April. We had a show that we did that there was a considerable amount of discussion surrounding the undocumented immigrants that are coming into the country, and, you know, the 14 million of them or so that have come into the country. And in the archive of that show, there was some comments that were made by one of the listeners, and some of those comments, for some reason or another, did not make it into the archive. And I got contacted about that, and I have looked into it, and, you know, the only thing that I can say about it is that it just appears that there was a glitch in the system, and somehow those didn't make it into the archive. So if you did pick up that archive and you realize that there's some things missing from that, yes, there were. And I'm trying to figure out how that happened or why it happened and have yet don't have an answer. So I apologize for that. Ben Birch over the White Rose Society does a fantastic job of archiving all of these radio programs. And he explained to me that that glitches happen from time to time. And that every so often, sometimes, you know, something happens and, you know, things go missing. I mean, it's just the nature of working with computers and dealing with all of the various things that put this wonderful, this wonderful network together. That there's a lot of pieces that go together, and sometimes, every so often, they don't go together the way they need to. So, suffice it to say that. On behalf of me and on behalf of the network, we will do our very level best to make sure that all of our programming is archived to the best of our ability. If something goes missing, I apologize. It's not intentional. It's absolutely not intentional. So that's the last thing. We don't censor. Absolutely do not censor here. Okay. Okay. Now, on to some other things. On to some other things. General Michael Hayden is the front runner to replace the resigned and discredited Porter Goss to take over the CIA. General Michael Hayden is the architect, if you will, of the NSA spying program. He has gone before Congress and talked about it. He has been sort of the one that's been in charge and has been I'm trying to look for the right word. My brain isn't working well either tonight, folks. This may not be the most entertaining show tonight, but stick with us. We'll stick around. He's also been the gentleman who's sort of been the point man, if you will, for the NSA spying program. President Bush has not named him as the choice, but all of the talking heads and the punditry in Washington, D.C. is claiming that this gentleman is going to be, or this person is going to be the one who is going to be leading the CIA, or is going to be the choice of the president to lead the CIA. There's several problems with this, and not the least of which is that this culture of spying that's been created in this country is very just pervasive. I have a story in front of me that I talked about a little bit last night on Fourth Estate Radio with my good friend John Fox that I anchor that show with. And in this story, it basically talks about the fact that there has been instituted in virtually every large metropolitan police department around the United States a special intelligence section, squad or whatever section within every police department whose job is to, you know, is to gather intelligence. They've been given very generous federal counterterrorism grants to set up various things, you know, including police intelligence units. Just as a for instance, and I talked about this a little bit last night, just as a for instance, in the Atlanta suburb of DeKalb County, they received a $12 million grant from Washington to set up a police intelligence unit. However, what this police intelligence, let me just, before I get too far to that, let me explain what the problem is here. Okay, now if these folks were, if these police intelligence units were strictly there in place to monitor the activities of rumored or alleged Al-Qaeda or other terrorists that may be existing or that may have a toehold in, you know, in those communities, I can understand that. However, the majority of these programs are not being used for that. The majority of these programs are being used to surveil or harass animal rights activists, anti-war protesters, union activists, yes, and even library patrons surfing the web. Now, unlike Washington, D.C.'s NSA warrantless domestic surveillance program, very little attention has been focused on the role of state and local authorities in the war on terrorism. And what I would like to posit, what I want to put forth, in other words, is I would like to put forth the proposition that, or at least the idea, that the chances of you being spied by your local police department is probably 10 times greater than ever getting a phone call intercepted by Agent Fred of the NSA. Millions, hundreds of millions of dollars have been funneled into these state and local police intelligence operations. Millions more have gone into building up regional law enforcement databases to unprecedented levels. Law enforcement officials across the nation have stressed that the enhanced intelligence work is vital to the nation's security, but even its biggest boosters worry about a lack of training and standards. So what we have is we have all this flow of cash out there, and we have all this huge amount of money that's supporting these homegrown spies. You know, these, you know, okay, now what's worse than a guy... What's worse than, if you're a policeman and you're listening to this show, thank you, you know, for what you're doing, keeping us safe and all that good stuff, you know. But if you're a policeman and what you really want to be is a spook with the CIA or with the NSA or something like that, and you envision yourself at a local level being a spy, chances are you're going to try to dig up situations to spy on. And what could that, what might, you know, let's think for a minute. What might that be? What might that be? Well, I'll tell you what might that be. It might be the local World Can't Wait. It might be the local anti-war coalition, the local vegan organization, the local bicycles collective, or whatever it could be. Because you want to spy, because you've been given all this money to go spy, so you have to find something to spy on, right? If every situation looks like a nail, right? I have that backwards. If all you have is a hammer, then everything looks like a nail. That's right. That's it. All right, looks like we're going to take a quick break here, and then we'll come back up. You're listening to All Things Reconsidered. My name is Bruce Birch. If you want to get in on the radio program, you can do so by dialing 1-877-443-2366. You can also send me an email to bruce@brucebirch.com. Either way, we're going to be here for the next couple of hours. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Hey, how you doing? Got a quick question.
Yeah?
Who was Rudolf Nureyev?
Rudy Nureyev.
Rudy.
Okay, I know this one.
Good.
Wasn't he a... Nureyev. Wasn't he a defenseman for the Maple Leafs?
Sure about that?
Could have been a goalie.
Yeah. Hey, how you doing? Who was Louis Armstrong?
That's easy. He was the first guy on the moon.
Really?
You know, one small step for man.
Sure, one giant leap for Louis. Hey, young lady.
Uh-huh.
Does the name Caravaggio mean anything to you?
Wasn't he a guy
guy that went out with that mob guy's sister until he got whacked?
You know, no.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Nureyev's dance, Armstrong's horn, and Caravaggio's brush. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
Hello?
Louise, it's Ralph. Listen, would you go out with me tomorrow?
At 8? Ralph, I'd love to.
I have an appointment with my orthopedic surgeon, and I really want you to come along.
A doctor's office? That's so special. Oh, I just remembered. I have to delete some emails.
Come on, Louise. We're going to talk about the pain in my hip, and I could use a little support.
I guess I'm not very hip.
You could take notes and help me remember stuff. Look, I have all my doctor questions written down, but there's so much to remember. I need you there with me so I don't miss anything.
Couldn't we just play miniature golf?
Louise, I'm not asking for a kidney.
Bringing someone to your appointment is a good way to make sure you and your physician are on the same page. The idea is to partner with your doctor and share information so you can make informed decisions together. For more on patient-doctor communications, visit orthoinfo.org, a message from the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons, where patient-centered care means getting better together.
Planet Check. Michael Franti from Spearhead talks about the new benefit CD for the nonprofit environmental law firm Earth Justice.
I'm always involved in Earth Justice as an idea, no matter where I go.
Franti, along with artists Nora Jones, Los Lobos, Willie Nelson, and Bonnie Raitt, donated their music in support of life's absolute necessities, clean air and water.
Music today is not speaking to really what's happening on the streets. It's really important that artists come together, work on projects together, and put out unified voices about what's happening today in our planet.
In the United States alone, more than 70,000 people die per year from air pollution.
Keep on talking now. It's silent. Keep on singing by.
Music makes a difference. Give it a spin at wherewelive.org. That's Planet Check.
Planet Check is possible thanks to Clif Bar, the energy bar made with organic ingredients by a company committed to sustaining you and the planet. More at cliffbar.com.
Always good to hear a little bit of Frank Zappa on the stream there. That's, for those of you who aren't aware, I had to dial that back just to hear. For those of you who aren't aware, the majority of the music you'll hear on the radio program tonight, all the bumper music, is Frank Zappa music. Primarily because I'm a Zappa fan, and it's kind of a soothing thing for me. And I always try to like turn people on to new music if they're interested in new music. We were talking about when I went over to the break. I was talking about the whole thing about the police creating intelligence units around the nation. I wanted to give you some numbers here, okay? Let's give you some, here's some numbers. There are over 700,000 local, state, and tribal police officers in the United States compared with only 12,000 FBI agents. So the idea is, within the Justice Department, that it's much better to try to create these counterterrorism units within police departments because there's so many more of them. So, it's a matter of they get money, they get to have all this wonderful recording equipment, they get to go buy cameras and surveillance equipment and all this neat stuff, these neat toys to be able to surveil, which in other words is spy, on people within the United States. Now, how much of that is legal? Can a cop come in and videotape my car, my license tag, me, et cetera? Yes, that's legal. It's absolutely legal for them to do that. We had a situation back here in North Carolina back in January where we had a drown out the Bush regime event on – on January the 31st. And apparently we had a police officer that showed up to surveil the event. So he went around with a camera and began recording a bunch of someone in the chat room says, I'm a Zappa fan? I didn't know that. Of course. How many times have you been listening to the show? Okay. They use this money to go around and buy cameras. And now this guy, he was going around and recording these vehicles' license tags. And some of the people who were there at the event, which was around 250 strong that Tuesday night in January, some of the people went around and they actually stood in front of the officer who was recording the tags. And now, the question has been asked, was this legal for them, for him to do that, for him to record the tags? Yes, it was legal. And I've never gotten an answer from the question, was it legal for the people to block the police officer from recording the tags? Now, keep in mind he was not in uniform. Keep in mind that he was wearing, like, blue jeans, Timberland boots, sort of like one of those quilted shirts that has the, you know, it's like a plaid on the outside and quilted on the inside. He was wearing a baseball cap turned sideways. I mean, he didn't look like a cop, okay? And here he was out here recording all these, so people saw that and said, okay, what's this all about? They didn't know what it was about. And they went over and asked him if he was a cop. He wouldn't identify himself, so they stood in between him and the cars. They eventually, seven of them got arrested for various different crimes, including carrying a concealed weapon. A guy had a lock blade in a sheath on his belt, and his shirt fell over. He had on a shirt that went around and covered his belt, and therefore, because of the shirt covering the belt, it became a concealed weapon. they got charged with everything that you can imagine except for one thing, which was what they actually were doing there to begin with, which was protecting the civil liberties of the people who were attending the rally. So I ask you, and maybe there's an attorney out there that can call in and let me know about this. Maybe I could have done this a little bit earlier and got an attorney on the show, but today was one of those sleep days. Is it legal to block a policeman from surveilling something? If they can be out in public surveilling or picturing or recording an event, is it legal for you then to block that from happening as long as there's no physical violence involved in that situation? I'd like to know the answer to that. Because that's something that I think that's something that's gonna come up again because of all of the money that's been assigned to various police departments around the United States to surveil you and I. Now, again, as I said earlier, you give them enough money, and I'm not saying I'm not against the police department. They do a wonderful job dealing with violent criminals and that kind of thing. This is not a police bashing thing, folks. This is a domestic spying bashing thing. Because I can't help but believe that if you give people, I don't care if they're cops or whoever they are, if you give people a bunch of money and you say your job is to gather intelligence on counterterrorism and do counterterrorism activities, what are they going to do? They're going to gather something. And if the only thing that's going on is anti-war protests, then they're going to gather that intelligence. Now, maybe back in the 60s with the weather underground, there might have been bombings and things of that nature. But we haven't seen that in like 30 years. In the United States, with regards to the anti-war movement. Don't think it's going to happen. The majority of the anti-war people that I'm aware of, that I know, are middle-class folks who have jobs. I mean, they're not interested. They're not revolutionaries, okay? These folks have jobs, and they want to be able to go to work every Monday so that they can, make money and support their lifestyles, and be Americans, non-violent Americans. So I don't think that that's really a concern. Now, maybe the police really believe that's a concern. I don't know. I've not talked to a policeman to ask them this. But I'm tying this all together because I think that this putting this Michael Hayden in charge of the CIA, this is the same man who sort of spearheaded the warrantless wiretapping of the NSA, you know, could create even an even more pervasive atmosphere for domestic spying. Now, we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come right back, and we'll hit the phones. So if you're on the line, please do stick around. If you want to get in on the radio program, you can dial in by dialing 1-877-443-2366. You can also send an email to bruce@brucebirch.com. Either way, we'll get you on the program. Stick around. We'll be right back.
On the last Fourth Estate, we heard from Robert Fisk.
What has now become a habit of compromising on the semantics of reporting in order to avoid criticism. You know, if you call a Jewish settlement or neighborhood a colony, you'll be criticized and called potentially anti-Semitic.
And a little bit of activist history and the Red Scare.
On the line with us right now, we have Kate Fossil, biographer of Ann Braden.
You know, I got interested in Ann's life because of her being a white Southern voice against racism. And
leave it to our listeners to ring up and keep it light.
I don't either. And, you know, Bruce is concerned about the remote control for his DVD player. I mean, I'm thinking about getting rid of the remote control on my blow-up doll. I mean, you know.
What's his name?
I never kiss a tell.
FourthEstateRadio.com.
Head on. He's back.
Yes, I am.
Listen live every night. HeadOnRadio.com.
Your computer is your radio. No static, no low power signal. It's easy. Bob Kincaid, West Virginia's number one liberal talker, is back on the air. Bigger, badder, and better than ever. Head on with Bob Kincaid, just like you remember him. Feisty, ferocious, and foremost, fact-based. No right-wing spin, no falafel, no oxycontin, just a nightly confrontation with the facts, the issues of the day. Head on. Listen live every night.
Listen live every night. HeadOnRadio.com.
Click on air every weeknight from 7:06 to 10 p.m. Then call 877-443-2366. That's 877-4-HEAD-ON. It's easy.
It's talk radio for the rest of us.
Monday through Friday night, 7 to 10.
Head on.
Okay, listen up. If you're sick of hearing lies by right-wing corporate pukes who like to pretend they stand up for the working guy, then head over to the Cup of Joe radio show where the truth will hit you so hard you'll have to wear your hard hat. You can listen to the screaming audio at cupojoe.blogspot.com. That's cupojoe.blogspot.com. Now get back to work.
All right, you're back on All Things Reconsidered with Bruce Birch. Glad to have you back on the radio program. We've been talking a little bit about domestic spying for the last half hour and also the fact that General Michael Hayden, who was the architect of spying for the NSA, looks like he may be the front runner for the post of CIA director. And, you know, by the way, the CIA, it really is becoming somewhat irrelevant in this post 9/11 world. Oh, that's so pre 9/11 thinking, man. I love it when they say that because it sounds so stupid. Anyway, all right, let's go over to the phones. We have Steady on line one. Mr. Steady, how are you doing, man?
Hey, Bruce, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Top of the evening to you.
Yes, yes, I love Sunday nights, and hi to everyone in the chat room, and Agnes, whose voice is so sweet over the phone, and she's so friendly.
She's great.
Yes, and I'm really kind of coming to fully appreciate our little head-on radio network here during the midweek, and then culminating on Sunday night as we, like, kind of go over the week's events and then project into the week. This is just, like, this is really cool, Bruce. I'm loving
it. Yeah, we have a good time here.
I try to keep it light. I hear the notes there, but I was watching C-SPAN in between a little bit of golf, which I think was out of your region today, the greater Greensboro area. I'm not sure.
Yeah?
I think that's where the tournament was at today.
Was it raining here today? Was it raining during the tournament?
Yes.
Well, then more than likely it was here, yes.
They had to play...
it wasn't raining anywhere else.
Yeah, they had to play in threesomes, but... on C-SPAN, I think it was April 27th, it was recorded, and this was going on while I was watching the golf tournament to show you how exciting golf is. I'm flipping to C-SPAN in the middle of it. But and they had John, front and center program with John Calloway, and he had Tony Zinni on there with his book Battle for Peace, Frontline Vision of United States Power, I think it's called, or Power and Purpose. And they had the Spectrum. Yeah, somewhat of an understanding on the ground there. I'm not with Mr. Zinni on all of his policies, but he's actually coming to understand that we're actually destroying everything. He's coming out and saying it, and we need to have a plan to stop destroying everything and start building things. And you had another guy on there, Benjamin Page, from Northwestern University, and this guy's calling for diplomacy and working with allies, and most of this stuff is being discussed in the context of approaching Iran. And then we had just a topic I want to bring up here because it's coming up again, and I think it's going to be in everyone's face for a while, is a public policy professor, Charles Glasser, from Chicago University. And, well, he's very crafty with his statements. He seemed to be more of the guy who is all for every option still on the table type policy. You know, like not ruling out the nuclear strike. And I just wanted to kind of keep people's minds, it's hard to get away from it, but as we take it light here, that we're still at war. We're still at war, and we're looking at expanding that war. And I hope we can rally amongst ourselves to... I'm not sure what it is. I've been drawn on every bit of it for myself, intestinal fortitude or courage, to get out there, and whatever we did so far, it hasn't been a loud enough voice, and we can't afford to let these people bomb Iran, and we can't afford to let the same element that wants to bomb Iran shut down our auto industry. Now, I just heard in a commercial here at Horn, I mean, just before this, that the UAW is organizing a strike, you know, for Delphi, and this guy Mark Swayze, who's a local UAW 969. He's head of, like, I think 40 Delphi plants. I could be wrong on that. I think the number's pretty close, 30, some 17,000 employees or something. You know, this guy's going, hey, I wish it was going down next year, but it's going down right now, and that's something he said last year. So as far as a plan to save the auto industry and stop the wars, whatever we're talking about, in other circles, these two things are really coming to a head, and gosh, I love all of us, and this is where the rubber meets the road, man. We've got something that's a gem here, and it's on the cutting edge, and somehow, with what I'm doing with my politics and campaign, I can't really get it off the ground until I solve this matter with the courts here in Ventura. I mean, there's a slander and a libel campaign going on. I'll go into all the details, and those of you who've asked, I've answered. And Bruce, you actually met Miss Myrtle.
Yes. Lovely lady she is, too.
Yeah, so we're trying to navigate these waters, uncharted waters. And, you know, we might even miss the primary, but I'm going to ride in for November. And we were looking, I was going to close out, bring this all home to taking it a little bit of light and back to Home Depot for a roll of 12-3. Did you check the price on a roll of 12-3 yet, Bruce, lately?
I was just there actually yesterday. Not there, but actually at Lowe's, because Home Depot it is a pretty big Republican supporter. But you know me, I put my money where my politics is. But I was there buying a lawnmower actually, but I didn't check the price. What is it? What's it looking like? And let me guess. 12-3, right? I'm gonna say $85 a roll.
Okay, now it's been holding at $85 a roll for the last month. And I haven't been able to check, but we did a little search on the net and found everything from 100 feet. Because what happens at Home Depot, they don't have it in stock, and they say it's coming, and it ain't coming. Anyways,
wow.
I didn't call just before this call. So we searched on the net, and because what happens is you call Home Depot, and you're on hold for 5-10 minutes to get the price on one roll of wire. So I don't need that type of service. In regards to the price on the net, we found everything from $170 for 250 feet to $75.
Doubled?
For $75 for 100 feet.
Oh, my goodness. That's just oh, my goodness.
So I think, and then what do we got gold at today? 680-something. I think it closed on Friday at $680. So 2 weeks after Katrina, gold was at $450. And copper was at, for a 250-foot roll of 12-3, was at $54. We're seeing inflation, and I just picked two of things to look at and watch, but soon we'll see it in milk and bread. And it's coming, folks. This is not a game, and it's not over. Okay, long way to November. We need to bring these guys into accountability, and women, ladies and gentlemen, into accountability. And make sure we've got something to give them to move on. Like Pelosi says, we got a 10-year plan to get rid of the oil companies, or to remove ourselves from the dependency upon oil imports, I should say, rather. I'd like to know what that plan is. I'm all ears for a plan like that. If we target Iran, we're going to need a plan like that. So you can't do both, you know what I'm saying?
Just so people know it, I'm getting a lot of questions about 12-3. 12-3 wire is 12 gauge wire, which is okay. Here's Steady and I are a couple of I'm a former electrical contractor, and Steady is a current electrical guy, and 12-3 is wire that it normally would be used for like a three-way switching situation or for wiring receptacles where you want to use a couple of circuits and you don't want to have to run two separate cables to the same area. So, ladies and gentlemen, that's your electrical lesson for the day. But 12-3 is 12-3. So, and 12-3 is kind of an expensive. It's a little bit out of the norm. You don't use it very often, so it's easy. It's kind of cool to gauge the price of copper by 12-3 because the price of 12-3 copper, which is 12 gauge wire. There are three conducting three wires that conduct electricity and a ground in that cable. But because it is so it's not used a tremendous amount. It's much easier to gauge the price of the real price of copper by looking at the price of 12-3. Is that did I explain that correctly, Steady?
I think so. To where consumers would use it and contractors would buy it. But if you look on the price per pound on the COMEX or New York Mercantile Exchange, that thing's already doubled. It's at $350 a pound, and I've never seen it before this last trend above $100.25.
Well, now you know.
20 years
steady. I have a pile of scrap copper that I've been holding on to. is now the time to turn it loose, or should I wait a while?
Well, depending on your need, you've waited this long, and you could definitely do some profit taking. If it's bright and shiny, that's even better. But if it's already stripped, now would be a good time to do it. If it's bright and shiny and you haven't stripped it yet, like some serious feeders, I'd wait another month. It's going to go up, bro.
Well, what concerns me, though, is the price of gold at this point. So we have gold up around 600. You said more than 600 an ounce?
680. It's the top of the grid is 700. Top of the grid is 700, yes.
Oh, my goodness.
So, I mean, and this is going to continue, folks. It's going through 1,000, and it's probably going to start moving rapidly. Silver's up over $14 an ounce, and when we started this, I think it was at 8. So you're looking at gold and silver almost. Well, silver's already doubled, just about doubled.
Now, very quickly, Steady, let people know exactly what that means in a real analysis for the economy.
I think in the sense they're just simply indicators by way of how much hard asset will your paper dollar buy as the credit worthiness of the dollar goes down. The cost of things goes up. It costs more money. We're seeing it in oil too. But you look at commodities like gold and silver. It's tough to explain the trend, but your dollar's buying less. I can go into all these Alan Greenspan functions of economic, you know, jargon, but really your dollar's buying less. Inflation of the price means your dollar's buying less. Purchasing power of the currency is reduced. So as the purchasing power is reduced, the cost of everything is going up. Or you can explain that the opposite way. So the bottom line is your money isn't worth anything. Once you peg the dollar's value, say through like a program like the Bretton Woods, you peg the dollar to the cost of gold to the price of oil, and you project a 1-2% increase over 25 years. Now people for 25 years can take out loans with and be able to project their incomes and their costs and the interest and all the fees involved with putting a business or carrying a loan legitimately without the market fluctuations and everything that they have to buy. And this trend's going up. I'm not an economist, but I understand how it kills people when they, I mean literally, kills people when the pressures of this type of thing come crunching down on a society. And that's what's coming.
Yeah,
it's
going to
cost
what's
a lot of money to build Katrina now.
I think I remember back when you first started calling the program, we were talking about this, that gold was a little over 300 an ounce.
In June.
June,
what is that, 2005 was your first show?
Nah, July.
July, right, okay. I know after Katrina it was 450. I have to go back and check where it was in June 2005. But after Katrina it was at 450. So you're looking six months, up $200, $230 per ounce.
Well, and that's just, and it's going to get worse and worse because wealth gets concentrated into the hands of a few, it's going to get much, much worse to be able to own any of those precious metals. And, it's pretty sad.
Here's the deal, though. This is not an alarmist statement, but those of you who have funds that are questionable, the stock market's high. I'm not an economist. I'm not paid to do this. And believe me, don't do it on my opinion. But Joseph Kennedy told all the bigwigs in the summer of 1929 to sell all of your stock now, don't ask any questions, and buy some gold. And we all know what happened in October 1929. So, folks, get out of debt, get yourself a roll of silver dollars if you can, and, take some profit-taking on your stocks.
Well, I would. I'm not an economist, and I'm not going to.
I don't want to get into that, bro. I just
maybe what we can do in the near future is try to get someone on who is a funds manager and see what they think. Of course, they're not going to tell you to sell because that would put them out of a job, wouldn't it?
the right people are going up to 25% of their portfolios investing in hard assets. You want to take your pick of gold, silver, copper, whatever, but hard assets, take possession of them. Do not buy paper stocks or mining stocks. Buy the gold. Hold on to it. Don't let them take it, man. The papers.
Good advice.
Mm-hmm. Love everyone of you, man, and I am not a pro at this stuff, but I've done well since 2003, and actually why I'm running for Congress is because I've made this stuff happen for Miss Myrtle. This has been the proof ground in a small little nation state at 525 Pleasant in Ojai, and I intend to project these policies that I put in place here with Ms. Myrtle in our home into our district and into our nation. It's proven it. People are scared about it. They don't believe you can do it, and they're trying to shut Ms. Myrtle down because a 92-year-old woman field the most electable congressional candidate. Seriously. I got this money stolen from her. Anyways, I don't want to banter, and I don't want to rant because I love you people, but I'm going through something here that will become pretty big. Well, and I don't know where to...
Our thoughts, positive thoughts and good wishes go out to you at this point, and hopefully that will get resolved fairly quickly and with a favorable result.
Thank you, Bruce, Gosh, and Bob, and Agnes, and John, Peter, Lottie, Arbor, the smart mom.
The list goes on. All the wonderful people in the chat room are you guys are just fantastic. Steady, I gotta get moving. I got a break coming up. So
thank you, my friend, and have a great afternoon and evening.
All right, I certainly will. You do the same.
Okay. Bye now.
All right, talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye.
And that was my good friend Steady. We're going to take a very small break, and then we'll be right back. Ladies and gentlemen, you listen to All Things Reconsidered. This is Bruce Birch. I'm your host. And if you want to get in on the radio program, you can dial 1-877-443-2366. Check out this conversation radio we got going on here. You can also email me, bruce@brucebirch.com. We'll be right back.
Fight childhood asthma? Then fight it with a scrub brush and a hot soapy towel. Even in the neatest and tidiest homes, if there's so much as a crumb to eat or a drop to drink, household pests like bugs and mice will do all that they can to get it. Creepy crawlies like bugs and mice are unpleasant enough as it is, but they're more than just a nuisance for kids with asthma because they can actually trigger an asthma attack. So, give them a whole lot of nothing. Sweep up crumbs, wipe down tables, scrub dishes before they pile up in the sink, and store leftovers in plastic bags or bowls. Don't leave them so much as one tidbit or nibble, and you can stop a childhood asthma attack before it starts. Discover other simple ways to prevent an asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS or visit noattacks.org because no child should feel like a fish out of water. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
When it rains, all my friends go away.
God doesn't like me anymore.
The wind could come and take your house.
Santa won't know where to find me.
Mommy's scared of the sky.
What's going on in the mind of a child who's lived through a hurricane?
You can drown in your bed if you fall asleep.
A lot. Talk to them. Reassure them. We can help. Call 1-800-789-2647 to make sure they move on healthy and happy. That's 1-800-789-2647. Trained and caring people are ready to assist you 24 hours a day. It's confidential and free. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Hello, may I help you?
Hello, can I ask a few questions about the apartment you have on Park Street?
What was your name?
My name is Juan Hernandez.
It's been rented.
Oh, it's gone?
Hello?
Hello, my name is Sanjay Kumar. I am calling about the apartment on Park Street.
It's not available.
It's not available, but I just now saw it in the paper.
May I help you?
Hi, my name is Tyrone Washington. I'm calling about a place to rent on Park Street.
No longer available.
It's not available now.
Nope, sorry.
Oh, okay.
Hello?
Yes, hello. My name is Graham Wellington. I'm calling about the apartment for rent on Park Street. Is that still available?
Yes, it is.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Oh, really?
I'd love to make an appointment.
Housing discrimination is illegal. If you think you've been a victim because of your race, color, national origin, sex, religion, disability, or family status, call 800-669-9777 or visit fairhousinglaw.org. Fair housing. It's not an option. It's the law. Brought to you by HUD, the Ad Council, and LCCREF.
And that one's called the Orange County Lumber Truck. I like that. That's a good one. All right, let's go back to the phones. We have Jim with us from West Virginia. Jim, how are you doing tonight?
Hello?
Hey.
How are you?
I'm doing great, but I'll get better, man. How are you?
Reasonably well. I really couldn't hear the text of the last conversation too well because it's sort of muddled, and I'm not sure exactly which topics the last caller touched upon. I did catch something about the stock crash of 1929 or something.
Yeah.
So if you,
we were talking. I'm sorry. We were talking about the price of gold and stocks and things of that nature at this point. That gold is way, way high. Copper's way, way high. Precious metals have gone through the roof.
Mm. Yeah. Well, I hope they continue to be in a way, unless they become radioactive because of some slip up of our own government. You know.
Right, right.
But I think you were talking about surveillance earlier, weren't you?
Yes, I was. Absolutely.
Well, you know, surveillance has come a long way. I mean, basically, during the days of Ives and the Terrible, you had the Oprah Shadina, in which these guys would ride around with brooms over their saddles and check everybody out and bring people to disastrous ends who opposed Ives. And then, of course, you had, during the days of the Third Reich, the block warden on the street who was checking everybody out, their political predilections. And then, of course, during Stalin's period, in the Soviet period, you had the old lady who lived in the building, the concierge, there's a Russian word, begins with a D, dejernaturna, who would monitor everyone's comings and goings. But we've come a long way since then. Through J. Edgar Hoover, who used to surveil just about anybody he wanted to, and would play the tapes back at parties.
Oh, you know, he didn't.
Martin Luther King, people like that. And then I heard you mention something about Frank Zappa, and we've come a long way since Frank Zappa wanted to do that movie, Captain Beefheart versus the Grunt People. Remember that one?
Oh, yeah.
Godzilla and some Rodan versus Rodan at the bottom of the Grand Canyon. But, you know, as far as modern surveillance is concerned, I mean, everything you do, every transaction, every movement is monitored.
Yeah.
I mean, when you swipe your debit card, your credit card, that's monitored. That goes into a database. And when you walk down the street and you look up on telephone poles, you see video cameras there monitoring you in larger cities. I mean, it's not so much that way here, but I mean in places like Washington, New York, and London, I mean, you know, basically every movement can be tracked and surveilled. And so we are living in an information society which is basically open to everybody. And of course it's used by the police and it's used by the powers that be, and it can be used for any purpose whatsoever.
Well, what do you think about the fact that all these police departments now have these counterintelligence units that call themselves counterterrorism units, but have a good result? Or
I don't know. You know, we started out basically with I think President Clinton with the COPS program, the community oriented policing system,
right, which put them in the housing projects.
He wanted to put an additional 100,000 men on the street. And of course, that program was phased down because the cost would have to be borne by the states or the individual local municipalities and things. The law had a sunset clause in it. But I don't know if that has anything to do with what you're talking about now. Probably not. But I think with the acceleration of the international situation and the war against terrorism, there's going to be an increased surveillance of just about everything you do. And, you know, your phone conversations, your financial transactions. These things are watched. And, of course, I guess they can't do everybody. I mean, I know that the various systems have mechanisms in which they will look for certain words or patterns of activity which will basically default into the system to make them aware of something that is abnormal. It's sort of like an audiological or a technological biopsy of something that, that they're constantly, you know, they sort of set themselves up as some type of pathologist to look for abnormal activity. Is that correct?
I believe so. Jim, can you hold on until after we do the news?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. We need to put you on hold and go ahead and do the top of the hour break, and then we'll bring you right back on after that.
Nope.
If you can hang on, that'll be fine with you?
No problem.
Okay, thanks a lot, Jim. We're talking with Jim, and actually Jim is going to hold until after the top of the news. You're listening to All Things Reconsidered. My name is Bruce Birch. It is at the very top of the hour right now. We're going to take a quick break, listen to the wind news, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
And I'm Doug Cunningham. Having lost in its attempt to destroy union contracts using bankruptcy laws, Comair will be back in negotiations with the Teamsters on May 11th. 1,000 flight attendants at Comair are fighting to defend their families' livelihoods against harsh demands for concessions. The union is trying to work with the airline and has offered a proposal it says will help the airline financially without devastating workers.
After months of strong words on both sides of the bargaining table, pilots at bankrupt Northwest Airlines have agreed to concessions of nearly $385 million. The contract, approved by 63% of the voting members, retains a 23.9% pay cut, but protects the pilots from the outsourcing of jobs. Northwest had requested that a bankruptcy court throw out the contracts of any unions not meeting concession demands. The pilots had threatened to strike if that happened. The flight attendants are scheduled to vote on their contract June 6, and baggage handlers, represented by the International Association of Machinists, are still working out a labor deal.
The United Auto Workers Union has called for a strike vote at Delphi. UAW Delphi locals will complete the vote by May 14th. On May 9th, the bankruptcy judge is scheduled to rule on a motion by Delphi that would give the giant auto parts company the power to throw out its own union contracts rather than having the court make that decision. The UAW and other Delphi unions have said all along that if their contracts are destroyed in the bankruptcy process, a strike is likely, and that could be catastrophic for Delphi and for General Motors. The UAW says what Delphi wants here is illegal. Delphi is pressing its 33,000 union U.S. workers for steep wage and benefits cuts. As the workers and their unions try to defend prevailing wages and benefits.
Air Jamaica could be heading for a strike as the airline's more than 300 flight attendants have rejected the most recent contract offer from the airline. Last week, the flight attendants voted that the Bustamante Industrial Trade Union, which represents them, could strike if an agreement with the airline over wages could not be reached. The two sides have been in contract negotiations since last year.
We're here discussing child development with some experts. Tell me the normal development of, say, a two-year-old.
My truck.
So a child that age should know 2 to 4 word phrases. Good. And what about cognitive development? Ah, engaging in pretend play. I see. And what of social
development? Anna!
Being enthusiastic about the company of other children. All right, thank you.
It's time to change how we view a child's growth. It's not just physical. There are milestones your child should reach in how he plays, learns, speaks, and acts. A delay in any of these areas could be a sign of a developmental problem, even autism. The good news is, the earlier it's recognized, the more you can do to help your child reach his full potential. Talk with a doctor. Visit cdc.gov/act early or call 1-800-CDC-INFO. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Learn the signs. Act early.
Here is today's economic report. If a full-time stay-at-home mother was paid for all of her work, how much should she be paid? A study released by Salary.com on Wednesday suggests $134,121. The survey compiled a list of 10 jobs that most closely fit the role of a mother, including housekeeper, cook, janitor, and psychologist. The average salaries of those jobs were then calculated into the average 91.6 hours per week stay-at-home mothers said they spent working. The most recent U.S. Census reported 5.6 million women playing the role of stay-at-home mom with children under the age of 15.
You've been listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Okay, you're back on All Things Reconsidered. This is Bruce Birch. That was another Zappatoon called We Are Not Alone. I think it was one of those, you know, ufology things. Woo! Delphi is nailing them, aren't they? They're trying to knock down 30,000 people's wages. Gotta love those corporations. But I wonder what their CEO is going to retire with. What kind of package he's going to get? Hey, okay. You think about that if you want. Call in. You can call into the program by dialing 1-877-443-2366. And you can also email me, bruce@brucebirch.com. That's bruce@brucebirch.com. When we left the break there, we had a gentleman on the line, Jim. And, Jim, are you back with us?
Hello?
Hey, Jim, you back with us? All right.
I hear you 5x5.
5x5, my friend. Okay, so we were talking about surveillance.
Well, you know, I'm used to being surveilled. I worked for DOD all my life, basically in my last job in the Pentagon and other agencies in D.C. I mean, there were cameras and all types of things there. So, you know, I've become used to it, and it's just a part of life that we accept, and, you know, or I've accepted it, and in the workplace, of course, your employer has the right to do that by law. And, however, it does make you feel kind of strange when you realize that when you leave your place of employment that you are being surveilled by TRW, credit agencies, or when you go to Amazon.com, people are selling lists of this, that, and the other. People know, you know, so much about you. I mean, I could take your financial transactions and I could write a complete biography of an individual 3,000 miles away. I mean, you know, people may lie in diaries. They lie in books or whatever, but they basically don't lie to the checkbooks. And I was trained in history as a graduate and an undergraduate. Mm-hmm. And whenever I had to write a paper on anybody, I would always go for their transactions or their financial records, because basically men don't lie to their checkbooks. You see what I'm saying?
Sure.
And that's just an interesting way to, if you really want to find out what a person is doing, look at what he's doing with his money. And I know the last caller mentioned something about the stock market, and I just want to add this as an insert. I read a book recently, not recently, years ago, called The Sins of the Father. And when FDR created the Securities and Exchange Commission, guess who he put as his head?
I'm not sure.
Joseph P. Kennedy. Because Kennedy did all kinds of tricks and had all types of leisure domains or sleights of hand on the stock market, and he could always come out ahead. He was one of the biggest crooks on Wall Street. And FDR said, well, it takes a crook to catch a crook, and that's the reason he put Kennedy in charge of the stock market. Sure did. And as a segue into that, I just finished a book about FDR called The Defining Moment by Jonathan Alter.
Okay.
Are you familiar with it?
I'm not familiar with the book. I am familiar with the author, though.
Well, you know, I'm going to finish up this conversation with you because I know you have other callers, but FDR has always been a hero of mine because he was a pragmatist, and he knew how to work with people, and he knew how to make people have hope. And I think his experience with polio brought him down from the rank of a patrician into the ranks of people who were hurting and who were in need. And I just wonder what kind of a man FDR would have been had he not had his experience with polio. But it did make him a very compassionate individual who created the state in this country which the Republicans are trying to destroy. Many of the things that he put through. But before he passed away, he was working on a speech to be given to the United Nations in San Francisco. He'd stopped over at Warm Springs after he had come back from Yalta. He was very tired. And he was posing for a portrait to be painted by the Russian portraitist, Mademoiselle Shumatov, when he had his stroke. But the unpublished speech that he was going to give said this, and I'm going to quote to you from it, and it's on page 355 of FDR, The Defining Moment. And he said, quote, if civilization is to survive, we must cultivate the science of human relationships. And I think that's what we've been talking about today, is human relationships. The ability of all people of all kinds to live together and work together in the same world at peace. And he lived. FDR would have given that speech at the fledgling meeting of the United Nations in San Francisco in 1945.
That's very powerful. Jim, are you still with me?
Yes, sir. Five by five.
5 by 5, okay. Just checking. I can't help but think that some of the best presidents that we've had have been presidents who have had that dose of humanity, who have had those life-changing circumstances or experiences that tempered their zeal for governance with a bit of humanity. And, I mean, for instance, Kennedy had John Kennedy had the whole U-boat situation where he nearly died.
Oh, not to mention he was an Addisonian.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he had Addison's disease, and, of course, he had to have implants of ACTH, a hormone.
Right.
And his father made sure that stuff was put all over the country where he went in case he needed it. I mean, Kennedy was extremely unhealthy and had a very, very serious series of diseases with his back and things like that. You know, he was... Kennedy and the hospital bed were quite familiar with one another, and he was given the last rites on several occasions because they thought they were going to lose him.
The only thing I can say about that is just that awakens something in a person that I believe cannot be undone. I mean, it's like one of those lessons that once you've learned it, you can't go backwards. I was listening to Warren. You know, Jim, are you familiar with Warren Zevon?
No, I'm not. I'm sorry.
Okay. Warren Zevon was a musician, singer, songwriter. He's the one who wrote Werewolves in London.
Oh yeah. Okay.
He wrote a song also. He was diagnosed with a form of lung cancer that was very, very quickly spreading, and it was over before it began. That kind of thing. And, he wrote in that song that, in one of his songs that, you know, sickness and life-threatening illnesses is the great equalizer. That, you know, doesn't matter if you're rich or if you're poor, you're still going to suffer. You're still going to feel the pain. You're still going to be, in the end debilitating. It doesn't. So, you know, I can't help but think that Roosevelt, Kennedy, any of those folks who have experienced those things in the end understood humanity, understood that what was really important, and what was really important was more of the loftier things, not the greedy stuff, but the stuff that empowered human beings, you know?
Yeah, you're right, because these are basically the common denominators by which we are all divided. And
absolutely.
I just wish that the current leadership in this country would at least submit voluntarily to the humility of what you have just referenced, you know?
Yeah. Well, Jim, thanks for calling in tonight, man. I definitely appreciate it. You always bring something to the table that is worthwhile, and you always add to the discussion rather than taking away from it. So.
Well, I appreciate your bon mot, and wish you a very good broadcast. What time do you shut down?
It'll be midnight.
Midnight. The witching
yep.
hour.
The
well.
Witching hour.
Well, listen.
Yeah, I got to get up and work my, you know, work my 8 hours tomorrow too. You know.
So, I understand. Listen, take
if
care.
I certainly will. Listen, Jim. Thanks a lot for calling in, man.
Okay. Good night.
All right. Have good night to you. And that was Jim, our good friend from West Virginia. Jim is, you know, always brings something positive to the table, and I think what impresses me most about him is how well read he is. This man has read. Oh, my gosh. I mean, you know, he's always quoting a wonderful book. I can hardly imagine. You know, it's hard for me to. I bet his library is just fantastic. Hopefully someday I'll have a library that will be fantastic as well. But for now, I do what I can. You are listening to a Radio for a Free America. This is Bruce Birch, and this is All Things Reconsidered being brought to you on the Head On Radio Network. If you want to get in on the program, you can dial 1-877-443-2366 or 1-877, the number 4, head on. If you want to email me, you can do that too. I'm accepting them as fast as I can get them at bruce@brucebirch.com. If you'll hang out for a minute, I'll be right back.
I'm Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive Magazine, with my progressive point of view, which you can now grab as a podcast or download off our website at progressive.org. I don't need to tell you how messed up our privatized healthcare system already is, but it's just going to get worse if the insurance companies and their agents, the Republicans in Washington, get their way. They've proposed a piece of legislation that could allow your insurance company to cut back drastically on the coverage you or your loved ones expect to get. And that includes mammograms, mental health screenings, and anti-smoking services. Under the guise of letting small businesses band together across state lines to offer insurance, the bill would prevent states from mandating the kinds of services that insurance companies must offer. In practice, this means that the bill would gut laws in 49 states that require health insurance companies to cover mammograms. This, according to the American Cancer Society. Aside from the anti-consumer, anti-patient, anti-healthcare bias of this bill, it also exposes the anti-citizen bias of the Republican Party. Citizen activists fought hard in state after state after state to get coverage for these vital services. Now the insurance companies want to go over the heads of the people in all these states and get their agents in Washington to enable them to ace folks out of literally life-saving coverage. We can't let them get away with this one. I'm Matt Rothschild. That's how I see it. I'm Matt.
You're back on All Things Reconsidered. That little bit of music there is actually not Frank Zappa. That's G-Love and Special Sauce. I love that name. G-Love and Special Sauce. Google it. Guy, I think he's out of Philadelphia. Pretty good band, and he has some progressive music, and that is one of the songs. That one's called This Ain't Livin', and it's basically a story about how, you know, people in the urban population centers aren't living, man. They're surviving, baby. You know, and how true that is. We just left Jim off the phone. Jim was telling, we were talking about all kinds of stuff, but we ended up talking about the humanity of presidents who have suffered physical ailments. And I can't help but think, I mean, you know what, man? There ought to be, you know, we keep holding these people by these standards, right? There's always these subjective standards of our leaders. Why don't we, now, let me just, I'm getting off into positing ideas. I'm going to step away from that idea for a moment because my brain is not working all that fantastic tonight, but that's okay. I wanted to bring this to your attention, though, and I was going to stay away from the immigration thing tonight. I really, 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 really was. I swear to you I was, okay? I've had a lot of thoughts about this over the last few weeks, month or so, and there's several thoughts that I've had about it, but I wanted to bring this story, and maybe I'll do that next week, as we'll talk about that a little bit more in depth. But I wanted to bring this to your attention because this happened over the weekend in Alabama, in a town called Russellville, and this was an anti-immigration rally that was sponsored by the Ku Klux Klan. What's sad about this is that it drew over 300 supporters. The event began with a 10-minute march by 50 people, including about a dozen robed Klansmen, to the front of the Franklin County Courthouse for the rally. Franklin County, Alabama, with a population of about 31,000 people, has seen a growth in its Hispanic population in recent years. Hispanics now make up more than 7% of the population of Franklin County, nearly double the percentage of blacks living in the county, according to 2004 census figures. At the rally, marchers yelled anti-immigration slogans such as "Send them back." One robed woman held a sign saying, "Remember the Alamo, stop the invasion now, save America." Ray Larson, Imperial Wizard of the National Knights of the Ku Klux Klan from South Bend, Indiana, told the crowd on a megaphone that illegal immigrants are in America to take jobs. "They want to take all jobs," he said. Klan members from Alabama, Georgia, Tennessee also were at the rally, as were a few men who said they were part of the Aryan Nations, an Alabama affiliate of the National Knights of the KKK, based in the western Franklin County town of Red Bay, had been issued the rally permit. The event drew some counter-protesters who held signs of their own and sometimes got into shouting matches with the marchers. One woman, Sonia Zalata of Florence, Alabama, said, "You should be ashamed of yourselves," as she held a sign that said, "All one people, all one people." Let me tell you a little bit about what it was like growing up in the little town that I grew up in. We had the Klan march through there once. Much. And there were probably a dozen Klan members, and then probably about as many people who were protesting them, and about maybe 100 or 200 who showed up just to watch all this happen. And I can't help but think that that's probably what happened in this circumstance, that the actual participants numbered in the dozens rather than into the hundreds. At least that's what I hope. Anyway, let's go over to the phone lines. We do have a friend on the line, Mike from Panama City, Florida. Mike, how are you doing, man?
Hey, I'm alive. How about you?
I'm doing fantastic, man. I'm doing great. Actually, I'm not feeling all that great, but I'll get better. It's all right.
Yeah.
Got the hay fever.
Tom again, I can tell.
Yeah. How are you doing? What's going? What's on your mind?
Oh, you heard the reaction that Cheney has managed to elicit from the bear.
Yes. His
brilliant freaking remarks in Latvia. You know, he better stop poking the bear with a stick. You know, they get really irate after a while if you do this, and they're starting to get very very irate. And we keep forgetting they do have over 10,000 nukes.
Well, it makes me wonder. I was going to say, it makes me wonder exactly what he's trying to what he was trying to accomplish with that.
Well, the general feeling is, and what they're saying is, this is the equivalent of Churchill's speech at Fullerton.
Okay.
He has basically started the Second Cold War. Congratulations.
Right. In the middle of the World War III, but
yeah, and the thing, you know, the thing is, I read Russian. I've been reading the Russian papers, and they are very unhappy. I mean, the stuff that is coming out in the English language versions is quite toned down, but the reaction is really, really, really bad. Yeah, they are not real pleased with what the U.S. has been doing in Ukraine, in Belarus, in the various stands. So you're getting very, very annoyed and very upset. This is not a good idea.
And this in a time when we would, if we were really gearing up for a war with Iran, as all other indicators seem to be indicating, we would absolutely need the support, especially from the southern nations, you know?
Uh-huh.
So, again, it's kind of like hard. I'm trying to figure out we know Cheney's stupid, but because, I mean, he shoots people. But why would he, why would he go and make a crazy speech like this except for to try to elicit some sort of negative reaction? I mean, is it because the Russians are dealing with Iran on nuclear stuff, do you think? Or?
Well, it's because their economy is in better shape than ours is. We forget about that. You know.
Their economy is in better shape than ours is?
Yes.
Wow.
Well, they're one of the major oil exporters in the world. We forget about that. They supply most of Europe with their oil. They have huge oil reserves, huge natural gas reserves. And, I mean, they are a very rich country in terms of material, mineral wealth. And
so
we've managed to get them to forge an alliance with the Chinese. I mean, they're having joint military exercises. This is something they've never done before, even back in the old days of the Soviet Union.
Yeah.
You know, exactly what the heck do we think we're doing? I mean, do we really, really, really want Armageddon that badly?
Well, you know, the resident, I hate to call him the president because he really he's more of a resident at 1600 West Pennsylvania. The resident came out and said the other day on Friday in an interview on CNBC that he believed that the folks who revolted on Flight 93 scored the first attack in World War III. And
I have I have my questions about Flight 93 anyway. But
well, we know we well. I've heard many different versions, but the one that seems to strike similar to me, the only one that seemed to be a confirmed thing with that was that it was shot down.
Yeah, and the, back in 2001, you couldn't make a telephone call from a plane traveling 500 miles an hour above all those nice towers. You'd be in and out of cells so quickly you couldn't make a phone call.
Well, it just makes you wonder, well, how does this all come together? But I, but again, he's the resident.
He resident.
The resident said that he believed that that was the beginning of World War III. So it's that really at least he might not, here's the other thing too, is that I went back to try to get the video on that, to pull that clip, and couldn't, and you know, for whatever reason, either it was being hit so many times I couldn't get it or something, but it was never available when I wanted to try to get it. So, you know, who knows what the deal is about that, but it makes sense, at least from the standpoint that he would say that. But I guess what really bothers me more than anything else, Mike, is that these two guys, Bush and Cheney, have done more to hurt foreign relations with other, you know, with other countries in the last 6 years than any other single administration in the history of our country.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, what we can't seem to get through our heads is that the way that the rest of the world, with maybe the exception of Britain and maybe Australia, the way the rest of the world is seeing us right now is not that different from how they perceived Nazi Germany in 1938.
Right.
It's a horrible thing to say, but, you know, that's how they see us.
It is.
That's what we're doing. That's how we're behaving.
Well, and that's why that makes doing what we're doing with Head On Radio Network even that much more an imperative thing to do.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know,
you're one of the very, very tiny slivers of sanity still left out here. Literally.
Well, thank you. I mean, we are working hard at making sure that this, you know, we're trying to get it out there as far and as wide as we can, but we're up against some mighty big competition, right? As who was it that said, never do battle with a company that buys ink by the barrel?
Yeah.
Well, we're doing battle with a company that buys ink by the barrel. So.
I've turned on as many people as I know to you folks, because you really are good. You really call it the way it is, which very few people are anymore. As we saw at the with Colbert at the dinner.
I know it. Wasn't that great?
Let's ignore him. We don't want to hear this. Oh, how dare he be so rude?
That was hilarious. You know what killed me? I think what the funniest part of all that was the reaction that he was getting from the crowd.
Yeah,
I mean, had it been a room full of regular folks like you and me, we would have been laughing our butts off.
Mm-hmm.
But because it was the White House and the Washington establishment media and the Washington establishment elite, you know, the Anthony Scalia's and et cetera, you know.
I love the way he saluted Scalia.
Oh, yeah.
So properly. Oh, so properly. Just talk
Mike,
to my paisan here. Ooh!
and ooh, yeah, it was great. We got to take a quick break, Mike. You want to hold on over the break?
I got to run over and grab some more pills, but...
I understand.
I will be listening.
Okay, well, Mike, listen, man, all the best to you, and I'm really glad that we're able to bring some good entertainment to you via this network and some truth along the way.
It helps, trust me. And the folks on the board, you know, they're a good bunch. They're a very good bunch. In the chat room, they are really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bunch of great guys. All right. Well, thank you so much, Mike, for calling in, and do so in the future.
Will do.
All right.
Here.
Talk to you soon.
Yeah.
And that was Mike from Panama City, Florida. We're going to take a quick break. If you want to get in on the radio program, you can do so once I learn how to talk. You can do so by dialing 1-877-443-2366. You can also send me an email if you're so inclined to bruce@brucebirch.com. I'll be right back.
The fathers are Nazi and Congress today. The mothers are hooker somewhere in L.A. The idiot bastard son abandoned you.
Want to fight childhood asthma? Then fight it with a scrub brush and a hot soapy towel. Even in the neatest and tidiest homes, if there's so much as a crumb to eat or a drop to drink, household pests like bugs and mice will do all that they can to get it. Creepy crawlies like bugs and mice are unpleasant enough as it is, but they're more than just a nuisance for kids with asthma because they can actually trigger an asthma attack. So, give them a whole lot of nothing. Sweep up crumbs, wipe down tables, scrub dishes before they pile up in the sink, and store leftovers in plastic bags or bowls. Don't leave them so much as one tidbit or nibble, and you can stop a childhood asthma attack before it starts. Discover other simple ways to prevent an asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS or visit noattacks.org, because no child should feel like a fish out of water. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Treat me with understanding.
Treat me with respect.
Drug and alcohol addiction is an equal opportunity disease.
Treat me without judgment.
Individuals in recovery come from all walks of life and deserve to be treated with respect for winning one of the hardest battles there is.
Treat me with courtesy.
Treat me with humanity.
Alcohol and drug addiction deserves proper treatment. For drug and alcohol information and treatment referral, call 1-800-662-HELP.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Sure.
There's this girl I kind of like.
Say no more.
You just have to impress her. Okay, but how?
Just, I don't know, pick up a lot of heavy things around her.
Like what?
You know, desks, chairs, people. Grunt if you have to.
Grunt?
Yeah, be like, There you go.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt U.S. Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Joanne Woodward. Ever notice how many things in life happen in a circle? The seasons, revolving credit, hula hoops, the spinning of the circle we call Earth, and recycling. Together, we've already made a difference. Sorting glass, plastic, separating cans, stacking newspapers. Now there are lots of products made from things we've already recycled. A paperclip, in a more daring life, a 56 convertible, a cereal box, once your Sunday paper. It all goes back to the circle. It starts when we recycle trash at home and at work. It's completed when we buy products made from recycled materials. How do you know the difference? Check the label for something called post-consumer recycled content. Then buy the highest percentage of it you can find. You'll save a tree, you'll save energy, and in your own way, you'll help save the world. Complete the circle.
For your free Buy Recycled shopping guide, call 1-800-2-RECYCLE. A message from the Ad Council and Environmental Defense. Finding the ways that work.
Back on All Things Reconsidered. My name is Bruce Birch, and I'm your host for this radio program. We've got about 20 minutes left in the program. If you want to call in, you have time to do so. Would love to hear from you. You can call in by dialing 1-877-443-2366, or you can send me an email to bruce@brucebirch.com. I understand that our good friend Jim had something else he needed to add to the conversation this evening. Jim, are you on with us?
Oh, I'm back. Yes, I am.
All right. What's up?
Like a bad penny.
You're fine, man. What's up?
You know, I was just, I thank you for your kind words about books and things like that. And, yeah, I do enjoy my library immensely. And if I should live in a world like Fahrenheit 451, I'm afraid I might be one of the first people they might turn the flamethrower on. But sure. I was just looking at a book by, it's called The Maxims of La Rochefoucauld. Are you familiar with him?
Say that again. I didn't quite hear you.
The Maxims of La Rochefoucauld.
I think this sounds familiar.
La Rochefoucauld was a French aphorist who lived in the, he lived from the, oh, let's see here. He lived in the 17th century and saw a great deal of things that were going on. But the one thing I wanted to quote to you from him is something to which I think sort of epitomizes the information that we're getting from our current regime.
Mm-hmm.
And it's number 282, and he says this: there are dressed-up lies which imitate the truth so well that it will be poor judgment not to let them deceive us.
Wow.
Now here's
like
a man
that.
Speaking to us over the centuries, living in times sort of like the times in which we live, of intrigue and negativity and misinformation and the substitution of lies for truth and truth for lies, to the point that we can't tell the difference, and that's the reason we're so confounded, I believe.
And why it's so easy for you know, you're right. You're absolutely right. It's like I'm pulling all of this together and I'm tying it up in a neat little package in my brain right now. But it's so much easier for the radical right wing and the radical left wing, for that matter, you know, depending on who's talking, to believe everything that they say, because, you know, there's probably a degree of truth in it somewhere. And there's probably just enough truth to make it sound somewhat legitimate. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, Joseph Goebbels, Hitler's propaganda minister, used this quite effectively when he would propagate his doctrines from Berlin during the war or wherever he was. And he, of course, made the statement, if you're going to lie, tell a big lie. Don't tell a little one, because little people have little lies, and they're all caught in them. But if you can tell a lie so big and so great, no one will ever definitely contest its veracity. And, you know, and the little doctor, Dr. Goebbels, was very right in that respect. Certainly was. I mean, propaganda has become more than an art form.
It certainly has.
In today's world, that's for sure.
It certainly has. Propagandy. There's a guy, I'm trying to think of his name, wrote a song called Propagandy. It's anyway, where my brain goes sometimes, Jim, there's no explaining it.
Likewise, I think maybe we've crossed paths and just haven't been on the right transponder. I don't know.
There you go. All righty.
When you look at that expression, there are dressed-up lies which imitate truth so well that it will be poor judgment not to let them deceive us. And you really, you know, when I read that earlier this evening, I thought, oh, well, there we are.
And that's exactly where we are.
There it is, and there you have it.
You know.
As the Emperor said in Amadeus.
There are things that just come together too neatly. I think that to me is almost like the indicator of something that's amiss, is that when things are explained so neatly and they're tied up in a nice little neat little package and they're handed to us to believe whether or not, you know, they're true, it's almost, you know, reality has a certain randomness, I believe. I mean,
tonight I was watching Fox News, and I never watched Fox News. But the only reason I watched it was because that curl, Ollie North, was on there, and he was talking about the last days of Adolf Hitler. And when I watched Fox News, I thought to myself, good Lord, this is like watching Soviet TV 20 years ago.
It is. You're absolutely right.
I mean, honest to God. I mean, have you ever seen the way they package that stuff? And how they keep hitting you with it? And even when you're watching a documentary, you've got the words scrolling across the bottom. I mean, it's just talking about Big Brother and Fahrenheit 451. I mean, these people, I mean, I don't know if it's Rupert Murdoch or whomever, but I have never seen such a propaganda tool in my life. And they don't lose any opportunity to project their agenda.
They certainly don't. And they become more unabashed about it. I mean, you know, now it's on out there, out in the open. They don't care what you think about it. They just say this is the way we see it. And you know, the other part of that too that I find it is kind of funny is that, you know, that whole network has now been turned into a farm team for the presidential administration.
I mean, tonight they have a special on, if you could stand it, being with Donald Rumsfeld.
Oh my God.
And his fight. Now, my friend, Donald Rumsfeld, to my knowledge, has never worn the uniform of this country.
Right.
And he has never heard a shot fired in anger.
I think he was in the Air Force. I think so.
I think he may be
the only one who was a veteran out of the entire administration. He may be the only one who was a veteran, but he wasn't in very long. I think it was only a couple of years.
Right. Well, I stand corrected there. You're right. He was a veteran. But, you know, it's just incredible to see the stuff these people project and to hear the way they project it. And it's just unfortunate that a great deal of the American populace turns to Fox News. I mean, I find basically those people, you know, like Fox and Friends and this, that, and the other, these people are so insulting to my intelligence that I've even set the TV in my house that, you know, it will not even tune them in. And I had to, you know, like make a special, like, guess, dispensation to, you know, to listen to this program about the last days of the Third Reich and Adolf Hitler because I'm sort of a history buff, as I said earlier. But they couldn't even do that one right.
Yeah. I just pulled up his bio. He served in the U.S. Navy from 1954 to 1957.
Mm-hmm.
As a naval aviator and flight instructor, he was in the Ready Reserve from 57 until 1975.
So he was in the control group after he left the service.
Right.
It's what they call the IRR, Individual Ready Reserve.
Right.
I'm very familiar with that organization, having worked with the reserve myself. But it is indeed very strange to see how propaganda is being used to disinform our own population, but at the same time, distance this country from the rest of the world. I mean, we are really becoming so distantly removed from the truth. I mean, I guess you, on one end of the spectrum, you've got Al Jazeera, and I'm not sure what they say because I can't get Al Jazeera. And then you've got Fox News. And I guess he's telling their end of the story.
So where do we fit in there? Where does Head On Radio Network fit in there?
I think you're right there in the middle, and you're probably being assailed by both sides of it. And I would think that's probably where you are. And it is a spark of truth, and at least people can have dialogue and not be shouted down and not
That's
be excoriated for whatever they elect to say on the air. And it's indicative of the times in which we live.
That's right. I do hear some music. Jim, we're going to have to go over to a break. So I appreciate you calling in again. And we'll hear from you soon.
Okay. Thank you. Good night.
Thanks a lot. Have a great night. All right. You're listening to All Things Reconsidered. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back right after this small intermission for the wrap-up of the show. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Bruce Hornsby. You know the expression, practice makes perfect? Well, it certainly is true in music. And practicing music is one of the most valuable ways a student can spend his time, or her time. A young person who studies music reinforces teamwork, communication skills, self-discipline, and creativity. All qualities kids need to be successful in their other schoolwork. Parents, think about encouraging your kids to try out several instruments at school until they find the one that they really like, the one that really clicks for them. Get to know the school's music teacher and encourage your child to join school music ensembles. And please don't forget that your kids all have an instrument that's free and sounds wonderful, their voices.
A PSA brought to you by NENC, the National Association for Music Education, and the National Anthem Project, the campaign to restore America's voice through music education. Music, part of a sound education.
One way employers honor their most cherished workers is by allowing them the pleasure of meeting a quota. Because management is so smart and in touch, the quota is always a realistic goal that can be easily met. Selling 80 sets of encyclopedias this week? No problem. The worker loves his quota because he knows it's merely a target and not a big axe constantly looming over his head that'll determine if he's still employed or living in a cardboard box next month. When you exceed your quota, you're sure to be given a huge bonus. Your boss would not just use this as an excuse to raise your quota in a devilish game of how much work can we pile on Sheldon before he starts babbling and stains his chair again. Yes, the rewards are great and easily obtainable for meeting your quota.
Been to the playground lately? If you have young children, you should take a look. Even though kids have been swinging and climbing and teetering for generations, playgrounds still manage to injure 500,000 kids each year. Check for hard landing surfaces, sharp edges, and broken equipment. Outdoor play is healthy for kids, but a playground that's unsafe and unsupervised can quickly become the pain ground. For more on playground safety, visit orthoinfo.org. A message from the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons.
All right, you're back on All Things Reconsidered with your host, Bruce Birch. I certainly hope that you've had a good time with us tonight talking about the various topics that have come across the wire this evening. Our good friend Jim was just on the line again, and you know, I really appreciate the depth of the intelligence. I mean, how many people we have call in tonight? We had three. Okay, we had three people call in, right? In 2 hours, out of the three, one guy's running for Congress. Another guy can read Russian, and the third guy is a retired intelligence professional. I mean, my God. Rush Limbaugh, you know, if you're, you know, I don't, Rush would never have the kind of caliber of get of listeners that we will ever have. So you know, I'm just consistently amazed with the level of discourse that we have on this program and all over this network. So. Again, if this is the first time you've ever heard this radio program, at the close of the show tonight, you can go to whiterosesociety.org and sometime in the wee hours of the morning, the archive to this particular show will get posted, or you can check it out tomorrow. You can also go to allthingsreconsidered.org, allthingsreconsidered.org, which is actually sort of the homepage for this radio program. And there's a section there with archives that describes each show and what happened on each show. So you can go back and sort of browse and see if there's something you want to listen to. And you can check that out. But I did, before we get off the air tonight, I just wanted to say, as I try to do every week, I hate to leave a program on a down note. And even though tonight I am not feeling all that great, you know, I also want to implore, you know, we have a situation in our nation right now where the president and the cabinet has run amok, and they are basically completely doing what they want with regard to law. The president has come out and said that he doesn't want to obey. It's over 700 laws that have been put into effect that he just refuses to acknowledge. Ladies and gentlemen, the only way that we're going to be able to turn this around is to try to get people into power who will oppose this administration. That means we need to get a House of Representatives that is Democratic, and that means we have to get a Senate that is Democratic. So in your home locations, even though you may be, you know, a Green, but I think, or whatever else political party you might be listening, you know, you might be a part of, seriously consider trying to get around and get behind someone who will get elected, who will oppose this president. Because if we don't do that, then we're signing our own death knell. We're signing away our democracy. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what we need to do, because democracy is not a spectator sport. Democracy it involves participation, and it involves you getting involved, and it involves a civil discourse. And that's our job as citizens, is to get out there and do what needs to be done to make this a democracy. The show tonight was sponsored by a couple of sponsors, Godbold Computer Services of Tallahassee, Florida. Thank you very much for your patronage and for your support of this program. Also, the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights helped sponsor this program as well. And, you know, thank you to Agnes Kincaid for producing the show, to Bob Kincaid for being supportive of Agnes, and to John Fox and Randy Kerbway for engineering our program tonight. Thank you guys so much for doing what you do with those knobs and twists and turns and wire and all that great stuff that helps produce the Head On Radio Network. And also thank you, Ben Birch, for archiving this and streaming this radio program. I guess that's it for me, folks. We'll see you next week. Hope you have a wonderful week, and I hope that everything that you do turns out the way you want. Talk to you soon.
It was a time I'll always remember. I could never forget how reality came down around us like some Western movie set. And when the dust all settled, the sun shone so bright, and a great calm took over us like it was all gonna be all right. That's how it felt to be alive after the revolution. From Groton to Tacoma, on many a factory floor, the workers talked of solidarity and refused to build weapons of war. No more will we make missiles. We're gonna do something different. And for the first time, their children were proud of their parents. And somewhere in Gaza, a little boy smiled and cried after the revolution.